We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
Hi, back here in OMF. Seems like the old days. Wednesdays, conference championship. You got all the pressers, the whole works. So we have had a quarterback retire today. Phillip Rivers, as we expected, is going to coach his kids' high school team or whatever. And then Drew Brees, we expect, because his wife came out today and admitted that he had like 9 major injuries during the course of the season, and that's why he sucked. So he's going to walk away. And instantly what happens when you get this, everybody starts looking at the numbers and they're going, Hall of Fame or not Hall of Fame? Here's the biggest problem I have with the quarterback Hall of Fame, because we had the same argument we were talking about Eli Manning and looking at his numbers. And I know that Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame, and I could look at Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees and tell you that they had better overall careers than Joe Namath, but Namath is in. We take that position, and to me, a Hall of Famer are the great players, top of the best of the best, during each era of sports. And when you take quarterback, we're willing to go 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 deep. And why aren't we willing to do that at any other position? So the defensive tackles get screwed. Forget about nose tackles. They don't even allow nose tackles in the Hall of Fame. Tight ends, we don't go deep enough, which may be a real problem because you got a lot of great tight ends in the league right now. But in quarterback, I get it. It's the most important position. We're willing to dig real deep. Is Rivers really a Hall of Famer? Was he one of the great quarterbacks during this era?
See, to me, he's kind of, I'm going to say yes.
No.
I'm going to say yes. And I know, you know, you can look at his, you know, inability to play in a Super Bowl, always being close, but never close enough, having lots of talent around him for a long period of time. But as far as guys that made your team better on a daily basis and always having an opportunity to win, and also, I mean, he's never going to reach Brett Favre at 297 consecutive games, but the guy never missed a start in 15 seasons. Never. 240 consecutive starts, not including postseason. That, to me, is something. Like, playing in that 07 divisional game.
Give him a good attendance award.
Christian, what you just described was a very good football career. A very good football career. Not like an average football career, but a very good. We have it all the time. Like, it's not the Hall of Very Good. Like, I saw he made, so what did he make, 7 or 8 Pro Bowls? 8 Pro Bowls. Now, let me ask you, how many of those Pro Bowls was he a replacement quarterback for? Because I don't even know the answer. I'm just thinking about, like, Phillip Rivers, Pro Bowl quarterback, because I saw his last 3 were 16, 17, and 18. So, you know, I mean, if you're in the Super Bowl, you can't be in the Pro Bowl right now.
Yeah, how about all pro? That's the one that.
Well,
really
I'm just
counts.
Saying, like just yeah. Pro Bowls. Like everyone's like, he had 8 Pro Bowls. Well, you know, how many of them were like, he's not in the Pro Bowl, but you know what? Tom Brady backed out. You know, he's in the Super Bowl. He's not going to do it. He doesn't want to do it. He's banged up. Peyton Manning's banged up. Like how many were real top 2 quarterback in the AFC Pro Bowl appearances for Phillip Rivers? How many did he have? I know that number's not 8. This guy was not it. He's a very good quarterback and had a very good career. Pat on the ass. Good job. Hall of Fame? Sorry. It's for the people that are above that. And he's not one of them.
So here's what I think is interesting.
I don't care what his cumulative numbers are.
Right. Because we had this debate with Eli Manning. And at the time, the people that were pro-Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame were using as evidence that he not only won 2 Super Bowls, but he beat an undefeated team. And the quarterback is the most important position. And so he's the one that's the most relevant with leading his team to the Super Bowl. Then the same people are telling me that Phillip Rivers, who I agree, very, very good quarterback, deserves all sorts of accolades. It's been a wonderful career. has got zero Super Bowl appearances. And I know, Christian, he played with injuries with a blown ACL against the Patriots. We know all the stories about him. But he's got no Super Bowl appearances. And we're supposed to write that off like that doesn't count. So it counts with Eli Manning. It doesn't count with Phillip Rivers. Why don't we just put all of these guys in? And when you talk about the numbers, the statistics, he's had the fifth most passing yards ever at 63,440. We're in an era right now where they throw the football and they have 70-plus percentage completion percentage. You're going to have outrageous numbers in the next decade. Are we just going to look at those outrageous numbers and say because the guys are the top of all time, they're Hall of Famers?
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are going to look at, you know, the numbers that people are putting up now. I do think longevity and consistency in the NFL matters. I do think it matters. Now, you can use the Lou approach where it is, you know it when you see him. Like, if you would you vote for Phillip Rivers today, right here, right now? Right here, right now.
No.
See, I think he's a Hall of Famer, but I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's
based
not,
on what?
He's not Tom Brady. He's not Peyton Manning. He's not Brett Favre. You know, he's not in that category. I would say he's a second-tier type of Hall of Famer. A guy that's going to have to wait a while, a guy that's going to have to, it'll have to be the perfect time, and he'll end up getting in purely because the dude played forever.
Yeah, but that's
played for 17 years.
But Christian, think of what you're saying. That's the problem with the Hall of Fame. Lou's right. Did you know whether somebody's a Hall of Famer when they're done playing? They no longer play again. So 7 or 8 years later, because there's a weak class of nominees for the Hall of Fame, you suddenly slip him in. How does that make it fair? How does that make him a Hall of Famer? That makes no sense. You're either in or you're not in because you don't play any more games after you retire. All you do is you go up for ballots.
Well, if you're going to say, listen, okay, when we vote for the Hall of Famer, when that person declares his retirement, everybody has 24 hours to get their votes in.
24 might be a stretch.
48 hours.
Maybe a week.
Everybody gets...
Jesus, 24 hours.
Well, hold on. Wait a second. So wait. Like, you need... Well, that kills the
point.
The thing is, like, you'll know while he's playing. Like, right now, current NFL players who are Hall of Famers are who? And we're all going to look at quarterbacks, but whatever. There's other positions. Former football players in the NFL that you know right here and today... They're playing, and they're Hall of Famers. Aaron Donald, he's a Hall of Famer. When he walks off, when he declares himself
no
done.
No question.
Give me another one. A non-quarterback.
Tom Brady. I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Hall of Famer. Matt Ryan.
No. No.
Frank
Brady,
Gore. Wait, how about Frank Gore?
No.
By the way, Matt Ryan won an MVP, and I think he was high up on another year in the voting for MVP. Where's Rivers' MVP?
Zero. No, he is strictly, he is that, oh God, I wish I had all those lists of guys in front of me, but he's that second tier guy. His name's always going to be in the mix, and then somehow it'll pass him by, and someone will say, hey, why isn't Phillip Rivers in the Hall of Fame?
So Lou's right. Let's have, like, down the street, okay, out there in Canton, down the street, let's have the very good Hall of Fame. Okay, we can have another building over there, maybe not as big as the Hall of Fame building, and they can have the very good Hall of Fame.
Listen, I agree with Lou, Baseball Hall of Fame, and really all Hall of Fames, where just sticking around gives you a little bit more of an edge. Having your face on your team, sticking with the same franchise, playing for a long period of time.
Carl Yastrzemski, prime example of that. Great player, but longevity really put him into that Hall of Fame.
But Phillip Rivers doesn't really have any significant... awards, MVP,
children.
Super Bowl. He didn't even, he's never even played. So he still loses as that. Antonio Cromartie. Alexander.
He was low on that list. Yeah.
The fact that Sean Alexander had so many kids, I'm amazed by. But whatever. So the point is, if we're using that criteria, I'm a no.
See, and again, like Frank Gore's longevity. But was he one of the best running backs during his time?
I would say that been one of the best running backs. See, again, this is the Richard Seymour debate. Okay? Richard Seymour.
It's different with running backs.
My point is, I remember the only way I could find out who the best back was to ask the guys who had to tackle him. I asked a good friend of mine when I was young in the league. He was a linebacker. And I said, who's the toughest guy you've ever had to tackle? And he said, Eric Dickerson, old guy. This is going way back now.
Okay.
Okay, obviously, Hall of Famer. But those are the type of guys that'll know. Richard Seymour, he doesn't have the stats.
That's the problem.
Mark Bavaro, friend of the show. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He'll never get in because he doesn't have the stats. He doesn't have the numbers.
But the National Football League.
So how are we basing it?
Well, I'm looking at a running back during the time when you're running the football, you know, in the 2000s, mid to late 2000s. Like, Frank Gore was a very good running back in this game. And the fact that he's played so long has elevated his Hall of Fame chances. And I put some stock into that. Listen, God bless you. You know, you play for a long time. I hear you. But it's like that. It's got to be more than longevity. It's got to be when you played in your prime. Were you one of the best running back at the time? You know, I don't know what Sean Alexander was better than him for what, 3 or 4 or 5 years?
Short period of time, then he got hurt and he was done.
But I'm just saying, like, so yeah, he was done. So, okay, he takes a hit. But because you stay healthy, I don't think because you stay healthy makes you a Hall of Famer.
No, I agree. And I think the Richard Seymour one is totally different, Christian, and you're right about the stats. And that is why I think the National Football League is better set to put a guy like Richard Seymour in the Hall of Fame, because they actually have a committee together, and there are other people involved, other than media people, and they debate it. So you're going to be able to make a debate that he was a two-gap defensive tackle that was flexible enough where Bill Belichick could move him outside at times. But by doing all of the way he used him, he was the most disruptive force on that defensive side of the ball. Yet he didn't get the stats because the linebackers were getting tackles.
So if you
but you got to explain that to people.
I know,
and he goes to Oakland and he was a Pro Bowl player
so
year
different.
One right out of the gate.
I don't think it is different. It's like you can't cherry pick either. And this is my issue with all
Hall of Fame. I'm not cherry picking, but stats aren't everything on defense.
Okay, so stats, but then if you're going to use it for defense, then you have to use it for running backs. And then you have to, at some point, use it for quarterbacks too. So, okay, so he wasn't in an offense that threw the ball like crazy. Some years maybe, some years not. It was up and down. So I'm going to use that. If you ask defensive players if he was a Hall of Famer, not even defensive players, cornerbacks. Ask cornerbacks and free safeties if Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer.
I think that's a good
way of doing it. Because
those
are the guys who really, not the defensive ends, linebackers.
I think you got to go, because I don't know how these people listen. If you turn on MLB Network, 25 guys should be in the Hall of Fame every single year because they're his buddies. So
yeah.
I'm not so sure how critical anyone's going to want to be against somebody. But you go back to the quarterbacks, and I think of this era of our lifetime, Brady, Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. That's it. You want to go? I don't care about this Super Bowl winning crap. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me. You know, Roethlisberger. I he's the next tier with Eli and Rivers. I just don't think any of those three guys are in the class of these other three. And then you keep going. Well, how about this guy's in the Hall of Fame? Well, okay, maybe he shouldn't be. I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you what I think. Four quarterbacks dominated: Manning, Brady, Brees, and Rodgers. That's it.
Do you know what got Joe Willie Namath? Talk about stats. Go look at his stats. Not impressive at all. What got Joe Willie Namath into the Hall of Fame was the fact that he made the outlandish prediction that when he made it at the time that an AFL team was going to beat an NFL team in a Super Bowl, that people were sitting there going, what a knucklehead. Who does he think he is? Muhammad Ali? What an idiot. And they went and did it. And that single prediction, I think, put him into the Hall of Fame. I do.
Probably.
I think people looked at it that way and said they weren't supposed to beat the Baltimore Colts. How the hell did
but
they
also,
ever do it?
But it's funny, even if you look at Lynn Swann. Like, look at Lynn Swann and his numbers. It's like the numbers, they just weren't throwing it. Like, I mean,
Terry
Bradshaw.
Right.
But see, I get it. And that's why I hate
defensive team. The
argument of, like, if this guy's in, that guy's got to be in. I like dealing with it at my age, what I've watched the last 30, 40 years since being a fan. You know, and as far as baseball goes and football goes, and I just, you know who the best are, period. And then there's that next tier of guys that can win it because they're very good quarterbacks. They're just not as good as, like, those top three or four.
Brees, to me, has a much better
chance. That's what Rivers
chance,
is.
Much better chance. But
well,
you look at Rivers and you look at the era that he played in, how often during that, 16 years or whatever, how often would you say he was a top five quarterback in this league during that entire period, 16 years?
Well, I mean,
seven of them, maybe?
That's when you start going to
not
his stats.
Not that many.
Six of them? No, but forget about the stats. I'm talking about, would you regard him a top five quarterback? We usually know who the top five quarterbacks are every year. I'm not sure you could consider him that many of those years being a top a five quarterback. By the way, J.J. Watt, you were talking about players on the other side recognizing players. He came up with a funny story. He says, I'll never forget lining up for a play and Phillip Rivers pointing to one of our linebackers and telling him he was lined up in the wrong based on the blitz we were about to run and being 100% correct that the guy was in the wrong position. Said he was one of the smartest guys he ever played.
So he's right, right? He watches a lot of film. How many quarterbacks in the league can do that?
A lot of guys.
Thank you.
No, I say no.
No, come on.
No, I say no.
You don't think Brady could do that or Manning could do that?
You said how many guys? He says a lot.
Well, okay, I'm
you
just...
You listed two the best that ever did it.
A lot. Okay, when I say a lot, it's almost
Cam
like...
Newton?
Like, Rivers stands out. Like, okay, whatever. Like, you don't think Russell Wilson could do it?
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith could do it? You don't think Matt Ryan could do it?
Yeah, Alex Smith.
You know, I'm just saying, like that's not... It's a cute story, and it's funny and everything.
Ryan Fitzpatrick could do it. He went to Harvard.
But that doesn't blow me away and going, oh, my God, he's so smart.
This hour of OMF has been brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. We're back right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one... They're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. We go back to the phone calls. Manny's in the car. Hello, Manny.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Hey, Lou, you know what? You're the man, Lou. Everything you've been saying, you've been spot on, dead on, like, for everything. But anyways, I just want to make this comment. You know, it's so funny when I hear Bill Belichick. Can you hear me?
Yeah, keep going. I love you.
Yeah, it's so funny that I hear Bill Belichick complaining about the cap this, the cap that. Why is it that Peyton Manning, every year throughout his career, had Pro Bowls around him? On a constant basis, Indy and Denver, and here to Tom Brady playing with people like Julian Edelman, a guy who used to be a former quarterback, now turned into a wide receiver.
A little bit deceiving what you're saying.
Wait, hold on.
We're going to have a dialogue.
Wait a minute. Why
we're
going to
have a dialogue.
Lou loves you, Manny.
We're going to have a dialogue.
Then I'll let you talk.
No, that's not how it works. No, that's not how it works. You're going to have to wait. It is very deceiving. And if you remember, even Peyton Manning bitched about this early on in his career because New England had the defense. And so the defense would force turnovers. It would give Tom Brady more opportunities at the ball. And if he made a mistake, Manning made a mistake, he didn't have a defense to correct his mistake like Tom Brady did. So it's a little bit deceiving. Now go ahead.
Okay, now, but why is it that Bill Belichick was millions and millions of dollars under the cap every year. And
that's
yet you asked Tom Brady to restructure his contract.
That's
true. It is true.
No, it's not true.
They reported that.
No, who reported that? Nobody reported that. How much money were they under the cap this year?
Not this year, but throughout Tom Brady's career, when you
not
kept
true.
Asking Tom Brady
100%
to restructure his contract, and they were millions and millions of dollars, that's what's being written.
Who wrote it?
All right, Manny, I'll say this, Manny.
What he's saying is simply not true.
It's not true.
When Brady was here, they restructured. This year they had, what, 30 million under? 25, 30 million? It was never really like that. They'd always have about 5 million under, right?
To make deals during the course of the season. Every team does that.
This year, a little bit different than years past.
Yeah, but that's all they've had is a few. But they held it to make deals and trades.
Right.
That's why they did it. But they spent right up to the limit. Here's Mike in East Longmeadow. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Take you off the speaker.
Please do.
Sure. I'm trying to take you off the speaker. Two quick things. You guys, this is a great show today. Glenn, this is to you. It's sounding almost like you're saying that Breeze is in the same boat as Rivers and doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Did I read you wrong? I already said. Well, you didn't listen to me because I said.
I listened to the whole show.
I think Breeze is in a different category. Yes, Breeze is more like
he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Breeze is Breeze is more likely to be in the Hall of Fame. Okay, he's had more success. He's got
all those certificates they gave him.
And he's got a Super Bowl. He's got a Super Bowl.
All right, if Breeze doesn't get in, then there shouldn't be anybody that gets in. When you look at his numbers in his career, now, it's not even close. And I agree wholeheartedly with Lou that it sometimes is a Hall of Fame for the good, not necessarily the great.
Or the resilient.
I agree. A lot of guys are in the Hall of Fame because they played a long, long time and they built up numbers. I don't know where you draw the line. But as far as Rivers goes, Rivers played in the AFC. He had Tom Brady. He had Ben Roethlisberger. And he had Peyton Manning to compete with every year he played. And I think that has something to do with maybe the fact that he didn't get a lot of postseason recognition.
Might be, but don't you think that the Hall of Fame really should be for the players who are the best players, not the very good players, as Lou pointed out, but the best players during their era?
Yeah, I think you know who it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And unfortunately, he wasn't, right?
I agree, but if you're going to put guys in a perfect example, unfortunately, is Joe Namath. Joe Namath threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns.
And again, Mike, that's why I stay away from who's already in there. And the fact that Rivers never won a Super Bowl doesn't bother me. It's just his career.
See, I would say
he was just really good.
Guys that were longtime NFL quarterbacks, same team for the most part, no Super Bowl. Warren Moon played for a bunch of different teams, but the guy I was looking at was Dan Marino. Dan Marino and Philip Rivers.
But I don't think anybody would question Dan Marino.
No. And, you know, and it's funny.
Dan Marino was putting current numbers up back in the day where they weren't doing it.
Well, my point is, after his career, just yards. Like, I hate when just yards, okay? And he barely even played in his first 2 years. Oh, no, this is Philip Rivers. So Philip Rivers didn't play in his first 2 years, not a lot. But 63,000 total yards, okay? 6,400, fine. So, and then you go to Dan Marino. And Dan Marino, in his career, 61,000 total yards. And I would say in an era where it was much more difficult to complete passes, like you really had to be good. That thing had to be on a rope based on what defensive backs were doing. So, because this is what people will do. They will just look at the stats, look at the numbers, look at the longevity, and they will try to find a comp for Philip Rivers. Hey, if Dan Marino is in, then Philip Rivers should be in.
But you got to look at the era, right? Because how about this one? So 1984, a lot different than today, correct? 1984, Marino threw for 5,000 yards and 48 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
You do that now in a throwing league, that is MVP, correct? Like, that is great now. You go back to 1984 when they were roughing the passer, when they were grabbing and clawing wide receivers, when they were doing whatever the hell they want in 1984. He threw 48 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
Just to put it in perspective, stupid. So Brady had 4,600 yards, a little over 4,600 yards this year. Peyton Manning, I went out to go look this up in 2013. Do you realize he had 5,477 yards passing, 55 touchdowns, and only 10 interceptions? That is absurd. That is absurd. And Dan Marino did it in his second year in 1984. So to me, he won't get in the first. Like, I'll sit there and look at another guy, Tony Boselli. Like, Tony Boselli, hands down, one of the best tackles to ever do it. Why is he not in the Hall of Fame yet? Why has he missed so many cycles? Why is he not a first ballot Hall of Famer? Okay, who's in front of him that was more important, maybe more relevant, maybe he had played in bigger games than Super Bowls? Tony Boselli doesn't have a Super Bowl.
Well, maybe unlike now where Jacksonville is better than New England.
True.
In those days, Jacksonville wasn't as good as New England.
Well, they were. They were the other teams in the league. They did beat Denver. They were good. Mark Brunell is, they're a good team.
How about this one?
Fred Taylor?
Shouldn't we look at first team All-Pro and MVPs? If we're talking about, and again, this is my interpretation of the award, that I think you should be one of the best players in the game during that era that you play, right? And that was my argument for years with Jim Rice. People hated Jim Rice because they just didn't like him personally, but was he not one of the best players in the league during that 10, 12 year stretch? Absolutely. But if you look right now at first team All-Pro and MVPs, shouldn't that be a better judge of it? Because it tells you that he was the best of the era during that period.
The Pro Bowls, they really need to
Bowl is useless
it's
now.
It's like average Al, the 3-time All-Star.
How many guys dropped out?
Five.
And nobody. No. Right, they all drop out.
Pro Bowls
this guy
are
is
the
a 5-time. Yeah, All-Star.
5 times. Sorry, I cut two away from him. No,
I hate the Pro Bowl.
The All-Pro, yeah, like. Because you sit there and you go, okay, out of the NFC, AFC, who are the – you have to choose. Like, who is the best tight end? Who is the best defensive tackle? You can't add four guys in there. You really only have to pick one. You can only pick one. So Gilmore would be the best corner. Like, back – definitely last year in MVP. Aaron Donald is now the NFL defensive most valuable player. Of course he is. There's nobody even close. So the next comparable guy is probably going to the Pro Bowl, but he's not anywhere near as good.
So what you're asking to do here, though,
saying it's imperfect just by the idea right. of it all.
But when you're asking Philip Rivers to be in the Hall of Fame, what are we going 6 or 7 deep with quarterbacks during this era? Because that's what you're asking.
I gotta be honest with you. You talk about Pro Bowl. I hate the Super Bowl discussion when guys have won one or two.
That's Eli.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I hate it, Eli, because he had two good runs in the postseason. That's
with a great defensive team.
His career, his regular season career, I wouldn't even put as very good. I don't know if he was ever very good.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Ever. Like,
so
it was
where
just
do you draw the
okay.
line, then?
His team won two Super Bowls.
Where do you draw the line?
Just whatever your eyes tell you.
The problem is that you have all these people, all these writers who are embedded, and they have these roundtable discussions, and then you throw in a Super Bowl, which everybody has... you win a Super Bowl as a quarterback, you're going in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know what that is? That is the Jim Plunkett argument that people have. And somebody was on the line that wanted to throw him out as an example. He was never voted to a Pro Bowl, was never selected to a All-Pro team, whether it be first or second team. But he was 8-2 in the playoffs. He's got 2 Super Bowl rings. He was a 500 quarterback his entire career, including playing here in New England. And, oh, yeah, I think he threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns. And people think he should be in. Why? Because of the 2 Super Bowls. That was the reason why I don't think Eli Manning should be in
that
it
used
either.
That used to be the line, but sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's different. So Lou's been really upset because he wants the Patriots to really do something in the offseason. So we're going to see how he feels about how the Red Sox have done so far in their offseason. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they're starting in a few weeks. We're going to do that next. I think Angry Lou might make a return to the show here coming up next.
Find us on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
So I think we were all a little bit confused. I think we all thought that August 31st last year was the most important day of the year for the Boston Red Sox, and we all got excited. I think we even celebrated that day because it was a day in which they were going to be able to reset all of the luxury tax, and it was going to set them up. And so, okay, one bad year, we're good. One bad year. And then the next year, you go out and you load up, and you get right back into the thing. Loading up is not Hunter Renfrey. Matt Andrees.
Not the receiver.
They brought Martin Perez back. I don't know if you heard that.
Oh, yeah.
They brought that back. Meanwhile, Toronto is loading up. The White Sox are loading up. San Diego's getting every pitcher that's available. And we get this today from Dan Shaughnessy. The president and CEO of the Boston Red Sox admits the Sox are not all in trying to win the World Series this year. The quote from Sam Kennedy, "I think it would be inaccurate to say we are going for it with an all-in approach that perhaps we did prior to the 2018 title. We cherish that title and all of them, but the way we built that team came at a price, which included, importantly, a depleted farm system and some depleted draft picks along the way. So we are building back up. And as we do this, hopefully the right way, we'll have a chance to be competitive in the American League East in 2021, but also for the longer term. Lou, I'm going to let you start.
Lou, the floor is yours.
I don't think the opening statement is a surprise to anybody. They're not going to go all in. They don't have the roster. I mean, it's like the Patriots. You know what I mean? They don't. My problem is, I think I just, I don't know, I was holding out hope for Springer. I really was. I was holding out hope for George Springer. I was thinking, you know, this is an opportunity, because if you remember, you go back to when, you know, you trade Mookie Betts, and it's like, we're going to get under the salary cap, and we're saying, well, Springer's his other center fielder. Springer's the guy that's out there. This was Sam Kennedy after the Mookie Betts trade from my friend Jason Mastrodonato. He tweeted this out. We're now in a position with newfound resources and newfound flexibility, and the club that only won 84 games last year that we felt underperformed. So we do think that we're in a position to compete in the AL East.
Mm.
That was when he traded Mookie. You know, and you sort of sat there and said, you know, this is an opportunity. I get it. You're not going to dive in. Trevor Bauer's not coming here. But just throw the people a bone. Like, you're irrelevant. You're irrelevant right now. I'm on the show. I can't even talk Red Sox because there's nothing. There's nothing at all. I got nothing to talk about. And I just thought that, like, adding Springer, you could turn around and you could say, you know what? Yeah, we lost Mookie Betts. But we turned Mookie Betts into George Springer and Alex Verdugo for the next 5 or 6 years. I thought it was a bone. And maybe it doesn't fit the structure or the timing or whatever. But if he's here for 5 or 6 years and you kind of get ready to compete 2 years from now, Springer's already on board. Verdugo's out there in right field. You start to find some arms. But I'm just tired of Red Sox are in on Kluber. Red Sox in on Tomoyuki Sugano. Red Sox still have interest in Odorizzi, Tehran, Rich Hill, Matt Moore, Garrett Richards. Like, tired of it. DJ LeMahieu, go call the Red Sox. There might be some interest there. It's been going on. Kiki Hernandez, Cesar Hernandez, Colton Wong, Marcus Semien. I don't want to hear who you're interested in anymore. And maybe that's just leaks to the media. I don't know if it's to make me feel good, but it's starting to piss me off. Like, I don't want it. Like, I'm losing my patience. I get it. I'm patient, dude. I know what the build is like here. Just throw somebody a bone. I don't want to hear about what they get. Daniel Gossett. Oh, and I can go Red Sox stats. Everybody's going to tell me, like, what the stuff he has. Mad sinker. Numbers were good. His spin rate. Screw it. I want someone who's really good. I don't want, like, diamonds in the rough. I get where you are right now, but just throw me a freaking bone. I don't think the Red Sox understand their fan base. I really don't. Sam Kennedy, I don't think he understands them. He doesn't. Oh, they're going to always be there. No, they're not. They don't care right now. They don't care about you last year. They didn't care about you when you traded Mookie. They don't care about you right now. And I don't think there's anybody out there now that can make them care about you this year.
Hold on real quick. And that pisses me off. Okay, so because
I care.
Because you say, okay, there's a lot of similarities to what's going down in Foxborough. In my opinion, okay? And you say, okay, I wish they – Springer, no, that wasn't going to happen. That's like hoping that, you know, the Patriots signed a really good quarterback. But you know what they did? They threw you a bone. They threw you a bone as a Patriot. They gave you Cam Newton.
A PR bone.
So you want something to somehow get this fan base, get yourself excited. Okay, so what's the MLB Red Sox version of Cam Newton? An over-the-hill guy that probably doesn't have anything left, that has a really great personality, dresses really cool, and is a good interview. Who is that guy that's going to constantly let you down because he just can't throw anymore?
You're missing it. Your analogy is all wrong, because last year was this past year for the New England Patriots. That was last year with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
That was, we had to reset everything, okay? So I would say this. If Bill Belichick doesn't go out and spend that $60 or $70 or $80 million he has next year, Christian, and they're under a different rules than baseball, they have a salary cap so they can only go so far, but if they don't go out and spend that money and get players, then yes, that's when you start screaming at the New England Patriots. Let me just finish this point. Baseball, this is one of the highest revenue teams in the league, and they're sitting there with smaller market teams outspending them and getting all of those players right now when they reset everything to correct it so they were not going to have outlandish luxury tax. This is a disgrace what's going on right now.
Big difference between them and the Patriots. I kind of give them a pass for last year. I feel like that was almost
a waste.
As far as comparing them to the Patriots,
I give the Red Sox a pass for last year. I give the Patriots a pass this year.
Since last year, no, so I feel like we're really going through it this year is my point. So last year wasn't what the Patriots went through. No, this is a year where you're not going to spend any money. This is the year where you're not going to bring in any significant. Listen, you just hired a new manager. So, and Chaim Bloom and
good luck to him.
Hold on, Chaim Bloom. and our guy, Alex, haven't been able to work together. I feel like there does need to be, it's almost like a reset of the reset.
You need talent.
No. Of course you do. My point is,
to spend right
do you
now.
Not give them, do you not think it was delayed a little bit just based on the fact that they hired a manager, a new manager?
No.
If they hired Alex last year, do you not think that they would have been farther ahead of what they wanted as far as the philosophy and the path that they wanted to take?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't think the manager does.
I don't think so either.
And I think the Patriots is a good example. You mentioned that they got $60 million. And Bill goes out and does his whole value free agent signing. And they don't bring in a tier one, tier two wide receiver. They go with another Damir Bird, a guy they think that has upside. You know, and if they don't bring in a tight end, because they were going to go with our tight ends the way they are, if they load up on $4 million defensive ends that we got to Google, you know what I mean? If they bring in a quarterback for $3 or $4 or $5 million, there's going to be zero excitement.
Right.
For the second year in a row. The difference is that there's more buzz in their league. There's still more to follow. There's still more to talk about. Like, the Red Sox truly believe, like, Red Sox Nation, yes, there's a fan base out there that will follow baseball. I will watch baseball. A lot of people will. And I do think eventually they'll like this team more than last year, because last year was a 4-8 club. But it's just, there's got to be some kind of buzz. Tyler, I think you said it quickly, whatever. I'm not even big on John Lester. I think he's washed up.
But
oh, there's your
him?
Cam Newton.
But that's
Cam Newton.
That's what I'm talking about. He's your Cam Newton.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's it. And it's just, there's bringing in guys that people don't know, they don't hear of. You know, I'm looking at this list of guys available. A guy like Yasiel Puig. You know what I mean? I just think would be interesting. I don't know.
Maybe it would be.
Could still bring him in. But I feel like they're going to sit there and they're going to give like Jackie a 3-year deal and think that's going to please the fan base. When 50% of the people will be pissed off because they brought this guy back because they don't really like him that much. Like they don't get it. And I understand. Like they've gotten in trouble by going out and you know, making splashes with Hanley and Pablo for PR purposes or whatever you want. They've gotten in trouble. So you're not looking for that, but there's nobody out there right now you're going to do that with.
We did get Cashner already.
I don't think Springer would have been a problem.
I think you brought up the word that the Red Sox should be frightened about, and I think it's an accurate word, and I read John Tomasi's piece as well today, and that's irrelevant. Because over my entire lifetime, the Red Sox have never really been irrelevant. Right now, they're right there on the cusp. I think they are. I think first of all, they're dealing with issues with the game itself and attracting younger people to the game. But the bigger problem here in Boston, because we've been able to deal with that where the rest of the country has had issues, because Boston has got such a Red Sox base. But I think you're right, Lou. If you go 2 or 3 years with this type of laissez-faire attitude and not really exciting and seeing guys like Mookie Betts go elsewhere, you're going to become irrelevant, and I think they're right there on that edge.
I think
you got to be concerned about it.
No, I don't think if you should be concerned about them becoming irrelevant. I think they are.
Well, that's scary.
It may very well be the case.
I would say, Lou,
you were mentioning this before. There was, you know, and I'm just going to paraphrase, and if I get it wrong, just jump in. But you were talking about how there was a time. When
Tomasi's article was
talking about how, like, there was a time when no matter what, the Red Sox were going to be in the news. Like, you were always going to have information, stories, tidbits, whatever. So the Red Sox were front page in the news all the time.
Yeah.
Good storylines, good backgrounds, just stories. You're going to be talking Red Sox every day.
Like, it wasn't even storylines, Christian. It was sports talk radio. It was going over and dissecting and analyzing the game that was played the night before. Nobody does that anymore.
No.
That was daily, and that was in the off season. Red Sox were in the news and part of sports talk radio every single day.
Thank God.
Right now, where
are
they? They're fourth?
And you can go back, and I think they'll reference like 2013, right? The year of like Mike Napoli and Ryan Dempster, Shane Victorino. You know, all these guys that we said, okay, there was a lot of damage done in 2011. Trust was lost in the organization. 12 was a mess. The big deal with the Dodgers. You're rebuilding. And you won. So that approach is sort of like, okay, we've lost you. So all I can do is try to win games to bring you back, right? But I think it's more than that now. I think a lot has changed since 2013. I think the last couple of years, you know, even with the team they had in 2018, you would have thought there'd be more buzz in the city about that ball club. There was, but not enough. Not as much as there should have been with how good that team is.
In 2013?
18.
Oh, 18,
this
yes.
is the best team we've seen ever. Like, in this organization. And there still wasn't buzz about the best team ever. I think things are changing, and you got to throw a ball. I'm not saying you go all in, but and it's not like Bauer's ever going to come here. But there's this passive approach, and I get it. I understand what you want to build, but while you're doing it, you got to throw people a bone once in a while to get some excitement.
I don't think they saw it coming in 2013 because you're right. That was the surprise championship team. And really, people didn't get on the bandwagon, Lou, until
but
like mid or
to
late
now.
August.
It's
right.
being compared to now. And I just think things are different surrounding this team.
I think they're a lot different. I think they're a lot different.
You guys mentioned really the Red Sox being irrelevant. Alex Cora was introduced here in Boston for a second time on November 10th. This show, Lou Maloney's in the booth. This is the home of the Red Sox, WEEI. This show's mentioned the Red Sox three times since Alex Cora was introduced. They've given us no reason to talk about them, ever. Nothing.
I don't know, man. You know, but it's coming, though. It's coming.
What's
because
coming?
They're interested.
Well,
yeah, Hernandez.
Okay, so I guess what would be the top storyline going into spring training?
But what would it when be? Is Chris Sale coming back?
Oh yeah, how's Chris Sale gonna do? Okay,
when is
let's
he
do it. Let's
back?
Do it now. Chris Sale.
Does
Alex Cora
come back? Bounce back? Is he the
yes,
same guy?
Yes,
JD still story. A head case.
Thank you, Ryan. Excellent.
Will they extend Rafael Devers?
Okay, is Devers gonna hit 200 for the first
again,
3 months
another
of the
one?
Season?
I mean, so okay, Alex Cora. Okay, what's it gonna be like?
And mine was the weakest.
You should have gone first.
I was the worst. I should have went first.
I'm sorry.
Listen,
we already have all the headlines.
I don't think there's going to be any buzz during
like
spring
I said,
training.
No buzz. It's a reaction to just seeing Springer. And, of course, Michael Brantley, I think, is in Toronto. They'd probably clean that up soon. But there's just – they could still go get a couple – they could still bring in Odorizzi and Tehran and improve this, but, you know, whatever. They could still go get a couple of relievers that are still out there. But it could, you know, bring in another outfielder. It could sign one of these second basemen.
But is that a bone, Lou?
But
like you keep saying, throw the fans
no.
a bone. Like Julio Teheran is a move they should make.
Odorizzi is a move they should
to
make.
Be
but I don't.
At 500.
I don't know if you know. It's like doesn't excite people. Baseball fans would know them and be like, okay, it makes them a lot better. But I think right now there's just I don't know. The Patriots are in a rebuild. The Bruins trying to figure out what they are. The Celtics are building something. You know, they're great right now. Who knows what they are? And I just feel like I'm not so sure you can wait 2 or 3 years.
So are the Red Sox waiting to bottom feed here, or are what they doing? They're reacting to the fact that they had nobody in the stands last year, and it was all out of pocket, and they still had a hefty payroll, and they really didn't bring in much revenue.
No,
is
anyway,
that what they're doing? Are they reacting to that?
No, I think they're looking at $30 million. They say, how can I turn that into a reliever, second baseman, and a starting pitcher or two? Like, how can I do that? And maybe a guy like Corey Kluber. Like, I'm not pissed that Corey Kluber ain't here. I would have liked to have had him here. If I'm a Yankee fan, I'd be pissed.
So 1 year
actually,
deal,
that
good,
the Yankees
cheap money.
Would sign a guy cheap. Like Corey yeah. Kluber because I don't. Corey Kluber's a wild card. $12 million, $11 million for Corey Kluber. If I'm the Yankees, I'm not happy. Go get a real starter for Christ's sake. Your rotation's a freaking mess. You're ready to win right now. You should be all in, and you're going to get Corey Kluber like he could have nothing.
So
like,
I'm looking at your division. The Yankees are still better than you. Tampa Bay's still better than you, even though they lost some players. So this is what you're looking at with Toronto's lineup. Springer, Biggio, Bichette. If they get Brantley and then Guerrero, are you kidding me? And they have some good young pitching and a closer, correct?
Kirby Yates, yeah.
Good luck. All right.
Yeah, and what they do, too, they create like a guy like Grichuk, who's like a center fielder under contract for the next 3 years. If you bring in Springer and Brantley, now you move him. And think of what you can get in return for him. Oh. So when you add something like that and you have like kind of like a player like that in return, now all of a sudden Springer isn't just Springer. Springer is Springer, trade away Grichuk and get something back in return, maybe more arms.
All right, so here's the big difference between what you're dealing with them versus when we talk about the Celtics or the Bruins or the Patriots. They can spend as much money as they want. They have just reset the competitive balance tax so that they do not have to pay additional dollars for every guy they sign. They bring in more revenue than any of these other teams. They have the ability to turn it around quickly. And I'm with you guys. I think they're going to have to turn it around quickly, or they face possibly being irrelevant in this town because people just drifted away and found other
like,
things
I
want to
see,
do.
Like, you know, like you want to trade Andrew Benintendi? I don't know what the hell's going on there. I don't think you get anything in return for him, to be honest with you.
That's probably
but you
want to
trade Andrew Benintendi? Bring in Marcell Ozuna. Spend yep. a little money.
Absolutely.
And then you know what?
Ozuna.
Hopefully, because this year doesn't count. You know, J.D. Martinez is good first half. Trade his ass.
and Osuna's your free agent, your DH, rather, for the next 3 years. So you bite the bullet in left field. You're going to suck out there defensively. It's not about this year anyways. Bring in Osuna for 4 years. Trade J.D. Martinez. Get something for him. And he's your DH for the next 3 years. You sort of just transitioned. But I'm just saying, like, just something. And this could still happen. I don't know. But I'm just sort of... I'm just frustrated. Springer kind of set me off.
I think you're frustrated. I think Red Sox fan base is frustrated. We'll find out. We get to the phone calls. Are you concerned about your Red Sox? 617-779-7937. This hour of OMF brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing.